Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
The shifting nature of college football scheduling will be on full display this weekend. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday, live from Hooters on West Trade Street in Charlotte, North Carolina. Here yesterday, we were over at the Charlotte Knights Stadium ahead of the Appalachian State ECU game. App State took care of their business last night, and now it's the following day. We got number 5 versus number 3 Clemson and UGA right here in Charlotte tomorrow. I'm going to be broadcasting here again today. Just a fantastic location here in Charlotte. I said the shifting nature of college football scheduling going to be on full display. We know about some of the kickoff games, and we've got the monster game tomorrow here in Charlotte. We've got Bama and Miami. You've got games in Dallas, sometimes in Houston, Orlando, Jacksonville's hosted them. It's just kind of what you do. Those are the ones you're aware of most years. In addition to the games that we have all been talking about, in fact, talking about the big games today, we're covering the two biggest. Again, the one that we're on site for here in Charlotte, and then also what's going on in Atlanta. We'll have Jake Rowe from 24/7 Sports here talking UGA. That's going to be the bottom of this hour. And then we're going to have Will Vandervoort from the Clemson Insider talking the Tigers into things. That's at the end of this hour. Hour two, it's Bama and LSU. We're going to be talking to Drew DeArmond from 97.7 up yonder in Huntsville about Alabama as they prepare to face the Hurricanes. And then Matt Moscona talking LSU football as they are out on the West Coast taking care of UCLA. So we have all of those games covered. We're going to get to all of them. And there are more than you're aware of, almost certainly, especially in that week one neutral site paycheck game category. In addition to the games that we've all been talking about and waiting for and anticipating and can't wait till they're here, folks, there are actually three other week one neutral site paycheck games over the next couple of days. We have the All-State Kickoff Classic in Arlington. That's Kansas State and Stanford, and that's not a classic anything. It's just not. Maybe Andrew Luck and Colin Klein could have pulled that off, but there is a kickoff game, a week one neutral site paycheck game, in Arlington this year, except it's not TCU, it's not Auburn, it's not Oregon, it's not LSU, it's not Bama, it's not Southern Cal. Kansas State and Stanford. Promoters are doing what they can do. I'll get back to that in a second. We have something called the Texas Kickoff, which, if I understand this correctly, the Texas Kickoff means, if that's the name of the game, you didn't get a sponsor. At least the All-State Kickoff Classic, they signed All-State, stroke to check, and said, all right, here you go. We'll be able to lower the ticket cost maybe, and so Kansas State fans can come and be more affordable because we got a sponsor. Texas Kickoff apparently does not have a sponsor. They do have the Houston Cougars versus the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Guns up, I guess, in Houston. But the Texas Kickoff is happening, as well as the Vegas Kickoff Classic. I need a little help here. I need info again on the classic element of Saturday night's Arizona Brigham Young clash, because that's the Vegas Kickoff Classic again, as I'm thinking, without a sponsor. All right. If you even go back away from those, because anybody can you, if you got the money, you can sign up the teams and get the stadium and sell the TV contract, and boom, you're a promoter and you got a college football game. Anybody can do that, and we prove that every year when we have matchups like Houston and Texas Tech, Kansas State, Stanford. But we do have the traditional week one neutral site paycheck games that the teams change, but we know the locations where it's good. Atlanta's one of them. Charlotte's one of them. Orlando can be one of them. We know. We've got history. Dallas occasionally has been one of them. If you take a look at the future matchups, even for the games at the top of this particular food chain, getting premier teams to sign on for these games is way more difficult than it was. Even the Chick-fil-A game is making future pairings of Virginia Tech versus South Carolina, which that's fine for me. I love that. It's not exactly Florida State and Alabama. I think the most recent deal that the Chick-fil-A game, which is that's the game that brought all these back when they paired up Clemson and Bama. I think the most recent deal the Chick-fil-A bowl, the Chick-fil-A kickoff game has announced is Syracuse and Tennessee. Syracuse, I bet you whoever answered the phone hung up first. Jerry called again. He's trying to punk us. No, it really was the Chick-fil-A kickoff game committee. And they really did want Syracuse to come down and play Tennessee. Going to be a lot of orange in that building. The classic era of kickoff games, it appears to have passed. And it's not a bad thing because instead of having one-offs with Miami and Alabama, what you're going to have is, for instance, a home-and-home on campus with Miami and Alabama. Instead of having the one-offs in week one or occasionally week two, you see, and I mean the biggest brands, it is Georgia and Clemson and Bama and Ohio State and Texas and Southern Cal and Oregon and all of the biggest brands signing on campus home and homes. So that's where it's all going. Now, as far as the games that have already been played, we had Tennessee play a football game last night. Was not the most important game on the board, and Tennessee will not probably figure in any meaningful way into the standings, even in their division come November. They're 1-0, and that's not nothing. Now, if you want to respond, they're playing Bowling Green. That's fine. If you want to drill a little deeper and say they were playing Bowling Green, and Bowling Green is one of the most horrid teams in Division I this year, you can have my job. So far, your college football analysis is perfect. UNLV lost to an FCS team last night. Tulsa lost to an FCS team last night. It happens. Now, you weren't playing Bishop Sycamore. You were playing a team that competes at least in Group of Five. At least they're, you know, what we used to call a Division I program. And you took care of your business. Now, was it pretty? Was it perfect? Was it an indication of what the next 11 weeks will look like? If you're a Tennessee fan, there are a lot of ways you hope that isn't the case. Here's what I saw. And this is a, because most likely, if you're a Tennessee fan, you already know this. If you are a fan of a team that plays the Vols this year, listen up. Here is your primer for the Vols in 2021. They can go fast. And I am just going to evaluate what I saw last night with Joe Milton taking the snaps. First of all, that is a whole lot of quarterback to try to get down. And he has skills, and he's exciting, and he has a really strong arm. He can move. He can actually run. Those are two different things. So there are some positives there. Jabari Smalls may love that kid. They have some intriguing options on the outside. I want to see what they're doing getting into the pattern. And I mean after just the first two. They got some intriguing options on the outside. I want to see them against maybe a higher level of competition. And I've already established that the Tennessee defense, at least in my opinion, is going to be the worst in the conference. And so, obviously, their task gets tougher each week. And they won. So, there's all your positives. Joe Milton, wildly inconsistent. And I want to tack on, like a lot of people, and it was against Bowling Green. Here's what I saw. In fact, if you want to, I can crystallize Joe Milton last night because just in general, oh, he missed open receivers. There was a third down because I was trying to watch UCF and Boise, and instead I got on Channel 10 in the hotel. I got the Tennessee game because of the weather delay. And I was like, okay, I'm good with this. And so watching the Tennessee game, and there was a play maybe into the first quarter, maybe a few minutes into the second. It's a third down and like nine or so, and Milton had an opportunity to run, and he didn't. I got that. I was like, maybe if you don't get nine, if you don't think you can, sure, that's the correct decision. He was standing flat-footed in the pocket, and I mean for about a three count. Then he pointed at a receiver and gave some sort of indication. And by the time he was through doing that, there were like three defensive linemen on him. And he had to scramble and tuck the ball and try to do what he could, and he wound up taking a sack. They showed the overhead angle, and there was a receiver. The slot receiver had just cut in, and I mean, you hear sometimes the color analysts saying he had to throw it right now. There always is a right now, and usually it's when the receiver, in this case, is breaking in as the defensive back takes an outside drop step. You're like, this is going to be free yardage if you hit it right then, or if you hit it with his next step, or even the second step. Joe Milton missed it. And by the time he found that receiver, who honestly, he had two steps where he was open. The safety had crashed down, and that wasn't open anymore, and then Joe Milton took the sack. He did not throw the ball that often, given how many pass plays that the Tennessee offense ran. This is going to be a work in progress offensively. It can be fun, and it can be fast, but if you don't have a quarterback hitting the open receivers, in addition to throwing someone open, in addition to being the answer when the receivers are the ones getting shut down, that's going to lead to a tough season for anybody, and we have already predicted that for Tennessee. So last night's performance, again, you're 1-0. They got Pitt, who is an above-average ACC team, next Saturday, and I think Pitt's opening against UMass. And so, again, that's not necessarily much more than a snap drill. It's not exactly Bowling Green, but it's not much more. So they should be able to, you know, kind of run through their paces and get ready for the season as well. Ohio State got their win last night. And I'm going to tell you one thing about the opposition, first of all. Minnesota is going to be one of the best teams as they go through the season. They've got to replace potentially one of the best running backs in America who got injured last night. But they've got a big monster veteran offensive line. I think Tanner Morgan's he might be a six-year quarterback, but he might be a fifth-year. Well-coached, all that stuff. They just ran into what I think is maybe the best team in America this year. And if it's not them, it's OU. And if it's not OU, it's Bama. It's not Bama, it's Clemson, Georgia, whomever. But they're in that talk. And Ohio State, as that game went on, they actually got simpler. They're like, all right, let's try to do less and just beat up Minnesota, and maybe we'll win that way. And they were able to actually stretch it out. They've got a kid, by the way, Travion Williams, I believe is the kid's name. Whoo, he is. And then Master Teague is still there, and they've got five running backs. This Travion Williams kid, I think he had two carries and one reception last night. Folks, he's the next one. Ohio State, again, they start 1-0 as well. A lot of talk about last night as well as what's going on tonight, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, and the entire weekend. We're going to break, come back with a full day of college football on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Hey, guys, sports betting season is in full force. NHL and NBA playoffs, we enjoyed those, and now football season is here. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. US, you can receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. No matter what the season, BetUS has all the games, NBA, NHL, team, player props, loads of NFL and college plays, whether futures or individual game odds. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf, and round matchups and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and partner with a sports betting company with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Third down, five. They drop it off. Here's Henderson. First down and more on the screen. What a burst! Trayvon Henderson!
Trayvon Henderson, Ohio State freshman, taking care of Venice last night with the Ohio State Buckeyes getting their dub over Minnesota on the road, tough-ish environment, and again, a really well-coached team that maximizes its 100%, its personal 100%. That is what you're going to get almost every week from Minnesota. It's harder to play clean, and that's a good phrase to use. You don't have to play perfect. You have to play clean. That means, you know, if you've got a second and six, don't make it a second and 11 with a false start. You got to play clean. And so Minnesota was doing that to a large extent and really bleeding the clock, and they had a big fourth and one that they converted. But then Ohio State decided, as I said earlier, just kind of let's make it simpler and let's lean on people, and they're going to be able to stretch this out, and they did. Now, that was Trayvon Williams. That's the kid at Texas A&M, one of my favorite players in the SEC. He's now with the Bengals. That's Trayvon Henderson. That kid, I was told that Trayvon Henderson, who had two carries last night and one reception, two carries for 10 yards, and then he had a reception. He took 70 yards to the house. I was told Trayvon Henderson would have started for Ohio State last season. Last season, Trayvon Henderson was playing tailback for the Hopewell, Virginia Chargers or Tigers or Bulldogs or Owls or whatever they were. He's a high schooler last year. And upon his commitment, oh, he could have started for him already. What? No, not at Ohio State. They got Master Teague and they've got – yeah, no, he would have started. Folks, I believe it. And you only get one football to play with. I mean, that's something we talk about all the time. And it's the reason that you have players bounce from a place like OU to Ohio State, and Ohio State to Oregon, and Oregon to UNLV, and wherever else. Everybody just bounces around trying to find – because you get run off from the elite programs. Trayvon Henderson going to run somebody else off. Like I said, Williams. I was having flashbacks to A&M, the kid out of Houston. Trayvon Henderson is the next superstar. By the way, the seventh highest-rated kid in this year's class, if we include Quinn Ewers – Trayvon Henderson drops down to the seventh highest-ranked recruit just in this year's class. He's a five-star. There's a five-star quarterback named Kyle McCord that was ranked below him. Number one player in the state of Virginia. Number one running back in that region, at least, what they call the Mid-Atlantic, et cetera. And he is the seventh highest-ranked recruit in this year's class. Ryan Day got that thing going on. What up, Dan?
I think you're thinking of Mion Williams is the other running back for Ohio State. He was the one who got the lead carries last night, nine carries, 125 yards.
That's the other kid, yeah. He's a stud, too, isn't he?
Exactly.
My gosh. Master Teague standing on the sidelines looking at these kids playing going, why am I here?
Yeah, it's going to be graduate transfer time. At least that's what it's looking like. We'll have to see. As they say, there's only one football to go around. You know, Chuck, what that game reminded me of last night is I was actually talking with a buddy of mine about it, and that is Ohio State young in some very key positions but incredibly talented across the board. That would be a game that would really upset Nick Saban because he would be asked about being played close and, you know, having to gut it out at the end, all that kind of stuff. And that would be a Nick teaching moment time for him. And I think that really what it comes down to for Ohio State is that is a saying that a buddy of mine had years ago when talking about a football team. welcome to life of being good. That's what it is for Ohio State, is games like that. We see them going into it a 14-point favorite, and we're saying, oh, yeah, easy cover. It's not going to be an issue. You're going to play stifling defense. You're going to be able to do whatever you want offensively against them. But Minnesota is a pretty good football team, and they played them as much last night. And for a first game with a team that is very experienced and not as talented, because that's what really the balance was last night, Chuck. It was a very experienced team that did not have one-fourth the talent of the other team, a very young team at key spots who had talent for days over the other team. And the talent for days is eventually what won out. But for Ohio State, it's a win like that that very much Ryan Day could get to the podium, be asked a question, and say, hey, this is what life of being good is like. You win games like this, then you move on to the next.
The 2008 Alabama visit to Athens, if you remember, it was like 31-0 in the middle of the second quarter. Georgia comes back and pushes them just enough so that Saban has enough to complain about in practice the next week, but they still got a huge conference win. Same thing.
College football is here. Hey, everybody. It's Dan Matthews. And let's take a look at some lines brought to you by BetUS. Clemson giving 3 to the Georgia Bulldogs. Over-under for this one in Charlotte is 51. Georgia plus 125 on the money line. Clemson minus 145. LSU out west against UCLA. Tigers give 3, minus 150 money line. Bruins are plus 130. Over-under at the Rose Bowl is 65. Earlier in the afternoon in Atlanta, it's going to be Alabama against Miami. The Crimson Tide giving the Canes 19.5. Tide are minus 1,000 on the money line. The U plus 700. Over under is 61.5. And the last game I'm looking at here is Notre Dame at Florida State on Sunday night. Irish are favored by 7.5. They are minus 300 money line. Noles are plus 250. Over under 55. Hey, I got a couple of nice sign-up options for you over at BetUS. How about you enter the promo code SST125? With this promo code, you get a 125% sign-up bonus. For example, if your first deposit is $100, you're getting an extra $125. How about if you're using cryptocurrency? SST200. With this promo code, you're getting a 200% sign-up bonus on crypto deposits. For example, your first crypto deposit is $100, you're getting an extra $200.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
If we set the flux capacitor to January 1st of this year, I was at MBS in Atlanta doing color on the Cincinnati-Georgia game. And when I finished that, got my car, drove home, and I watched Ohio State just open a can on Clemson. And then I think most everybody that either pays attention to Southern football or was already thinking about the next season or whatever, we immediately started thinking about, oh, it'll never get here. It's all the way in September. It's tomorrow. Immediately started thinking about the Duke's Mayo Classic. That is Georgia, number 5, versus number 3, Clemson. That is a 7:30 kick tomorrow night at Bank of America Stadium here in Charlotte, where we are broadcasting live from the Hooters on West Trade Street. I want to welcome on now a good friend of the program from 247 Sports. It is Jake Rowe. Jake, how are you today?
I'm good, Chuck. How are you, man? Blessed to be here and happy about it, man. We got football. Let's talk Georgia-Clemson, and let's start with health. First of all, the interior of the offensive line, like the most interior can be, center, and then also the receivers. What do you got?
Well, Warren Erickson is good to play. I don't know if he's good to play center or not, you know, because that injury was to his snapping ham. Kirby tried to say he was amphibious or ambidextrous or whatever Kirby was trying to make a joke about that day. But he said that Warren Erickson could do both. But based on what I've heard, Cedric Van Pran has continued to play that center position. And Chuck, going into the preseason, that was a possibility regardless, just because, you know, you're talking about a kid in Van Pran who was the number one center in the country in 2020, 6'4", 320 pounds, great athlete, great kid, great motor. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's a really talented player, and so he was always going to, like, have a chance to knock off Warren Erickson. Now, with that said, I don't think Warren Erickson loses the job if he doesn't get hurt, but he's going to be available to play. And so I think, at the very least, Georgia has that safety net, and they're healthy enough at that position to kind of to where it's not going to be an issue when it would have, you know, the where it's not going to be an issue when it where it would have been otherwise is what I'm I guess and what I'm saying is Erickson's going to be available to play. Now, if you're looking at some other positions, you know, I can't remember which one other one you asked about. But, you know, tight end's
receivers,
a problem.
It's all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, receiver. Yeah, I mean, George, you know, you didn't really get the impression. Obviously, George Pickens was always going to be out for this game. Dominic Blaylock was never going to be available for this game or very little chance. I think receiver's less of an issue than tight end. I think that if you look at all of George's injuries right now, you know, not counting the one to George Pickens that's been known for months, Darnell Washington's is bigger than any of them, but I still think Georgia has enough depth at those spots that they're going to be able to kind of get by and do a lot of the things they want to do.
Kiaris is going to be the lead dog out there. Talk about the choir around him, because there are some young guys that, you know, like the one kid, Arian Smith, I think we got a little bit of a at least I did. I hadn't seen the kid play until the bowl game I just mentioned. Talk about some of the other guys that have stepped up and said, all right, I'll take the snaps.
Yeah, you know, Kiaris Jackson, I think, is definitely the look-to leader of that group. But I think the alpha male of that group from a talent standpoint, from a playmaking standpoint, is Jermaine Burton. Jermaine Burton is George Pickens or not, Jermaine Burton is the guy that has the most ways to beat you on Georgia's roster at the receiver position. He's fast. He's got good size. He's got good quickness, good hands, good run after the catch. I mean, he has kind of the skill set that you're looking for in today's.
He's tough as all get out, too, man.
Exactly.
He does not shy away from blocking.
Right. And so he's the kind of the guy that you're looking for in today's, you know, successful modern wide receiver. You know, that guy who can beat you in a lot of different ways. Now, with that said, I still think A.D. Mitchell, after coming in this spring and doing what he's done, I think he's a guy that's going to be a really big factor. I mean, Chuck, it's not often that a freshman, whether he enrolls early or starts during preseason camp, that he gets it going and he doesn't stop. You know, usually those guys hit a wall or there's a lull or things kind of quiet down on them. Since about the first week of preseason, spring practice until right all the way through the preseason, Adonai Mitchell has been a big time factor, you know, and I don't know why I even try to pronounce his first name again. It's AD, but he is the guy that you know I think has a chance to really change things for Georgia. Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint is also healthy, and I think he's there. And another guy who had a really good camp, and we'll see if it pays off, is Ladd McConkey, you know, a former 3-star kid out of North Murray High School up there in North Georgia. He's a guy who had a really good camp, and is probably going to end up, you know, getting some snaps in this game.
You mentioned the tight ends there, and everybody wants to know about Gilbert, if that's what you include him as. I'm not concerned with him for tomorrow. That's a different topic. Talk about Darnell and Fitzgerald and everybody else.
You know, Darnell's not going to play. I would be absolutely shocked if he did. From those I've spoken with, he's still been kind of limping around and, you know, in a boot, you know, as of early this week. I think you're probably looking at a week 3 maybe return for him. As far as, you know, John Fitzpatrick, he's good to go. He said that. Those were exactly his words. And I think that's massive. Listen, I know he's not going to catch a, you know, 60-yard touchdown pass, and he's not going to split out and beat a guy on a quick slant. But he's a very good blocker. He can be a mismatch issue for you from an inline tight end spot. And I know everybody wants to, you know, make a big deal about Darnell Washington's, you know, size. I mean, this guy's 6'8", 270 pounds. Well, John Fitzpatrick is, you know, 6'7", 250 plus as well. He's a big dude. He's a really good blocker. And I think if Georgia wants to try and run the football and establish that having a good inline tight end who could be physical is a big part of that, and that's John Fitzpatrick.
This is no commentary on Georgia or the O-line or the running backs or whatever. I think it's going to be tough sledding on the ground tomorrow, and that may be the best front seven, especially Skowski, and I've talked about that. Him coming back is being huge. Talk about how you think Georgia approaches that, because they've got as much talent back there as anybody. What do you think about the rotation, who gets the ball, how they try to use people?
You know, I think one of the more underrated matchups in this game, Chuck, is going to be the running backs against the linebackers and the passing game on both sides of the ball, because I think big plays are to be had there, especially on first and second down. I think when you look at this game, one of the and this very much relates to the run game is I think the team that runs the ball better is going to have the best chance to win. And I think Georgia has the best chance to run the ball. I really can't see Clemson having a lot of success running the ball against Georgia, because almost nobody has for 2 years now. And that's just not Clemson's calling card, especially when you look at the inexperience they've got at running back. You know, Clemson, you talked about that, you know, Ohio State kind of opening up a can on Clemson, you know, on the lead in. They ran the ball all over them. And I'm really interested to see if Georgia can get that going or what Clemson's game plan is going to be. You know, if Clemson wants to come in there and try to stuff the box and make sure they absolutely thwart the run game, you know, you're right. I don't think Georgia's going to be able to run it, because Clemson is too talented to commit that many resources and fail at such a thing. But I do think that Zamir White is the guy who has the most trust. I know he has kind of slimmed up a little bit this offseason, gotten a little bit more explosive, more fluid, better in the passing game. You know, when I talk about those running backs out of the backfield, James Cook is obviously a guy that I think Georgia can use in that way. And you know, you're not going to be able to keep Kenny McIntosh and Kendall Milton off the field either. So I think Zamir White's probably going to be the lead dog there. I think James Cook has his own role. And when you start talking about kind of matching what Zamir White does, Kendall Milton's probably the next man up with Kenny McIntosh also getting his opportunities.
Last thing I want to ask you about, flip it around, and this may just be, you know, your feeling about things, but, I mean, you know football, and obviously you follow this team pretty dang closely. Just week one, not 2-3, not November or in Atlanta if they go to the championship game. Just week one, tomorrow, how do you think that secondary is going to fare?
It's going to lose its fair share of battles. I think it's going to win a few. Chuck, it's going to come down to the football in the air. I don't necessarily expect them to blow a lot of assignments. I think Georgia will keep it simple, and I think it'll protect those guys because it's so good up front. But it's going to come down to playing the ball in the air. And you know, listen, Clemson's got a bunch of 6'3"-plus receivers, and Georgia has one of the biggest set of cornerbacks that you'll find in the country. So that's an intriguing matchup. But there's some of those Georgia players, Amir Speed, Keely Ringo, those guys play. They haven't played the ball in a game like this. They barely played the ball in the air in a college football game, period. So, you know, that's going to be key in this game. I think that's where Clemson has a chance to exploit Georgia. And I expect it to struggle some, but I also think that a key component of this game is tackling. It's going to be coming up and making plays on the perimeter. As Clemson tries to avoid Georgia's pass rush and avoid Georgia's interior guys, they're going to throw the ball out to the edge. And I think Georgia's going to have to get guys on the ground. They're going to beat blocks. And if they can do that, I think Georgia's going to have a really good chance to kind of maybe allow Clemson to move the football some, but also get stops in the red zone and force field goals.
All right, for Jake, for me, for everybody listening, it is basically Christmas Eve. Brother, I appreciate your time today. We'll talk to you throughout the season, man. Thank you.
I always enjoy it, Chuck.
All right, Jake Rowe again from 24/7. We're going to break, come back, flip the field, talk to Will Vandervoort from the Clemson Insider. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. And September now. Easy to say that in April or June or whenever. Yeah, it is September, and we are about 24 hours away from, for most teams, the kickoff to the entire season. And we got the week one neutral site paycheck games beginning tonight, some again still. And then a full day tomorrow, on to Sunday, on to Monday. But the main event, 5-3, Georgia versus Clemson in Charlotte. Want to welcome on now from the Clemson Insider. It is Will Vanderbilt. Will, how you doing today, brother?
I'm doing good, Chuck. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Let's talk health, first of all, just to kind of check some boxes. Go through Clemson's roster. I've heard rumors about Justin Ross and how ready he really is. I've heard about a safety. Mm-hmm. Just give us a flyover of the Clemson team and talk injuries.
Yeah, so Justin Ross is just what you said, a rumor. He's playing. I think Clemson even kind of shut those rumors down last night when on social media they picked a thing about it's almost game day, and they had, you know, they're ready to play, and they had Justin Ross in the picture. So I think that kind of shuts that down, and, you know, I don't know where that rumor goes. People just like starting rumors involving Justin Ross this year for some reason. At one point, they had him going to Auburn. So anyway, Clemson shut that down last night. As far as Tyler Davis goes, Dabo Swinney would confirm it, but, you know, the reports came out on Wednesday that, you know, Tyler Davis had was in COVID protocol, and again, Dabo said he'll make that announcement on who's available a couple hours before kickoff. That's what Clemson did last year, and he said he's going to continue to do that this year as well. So he didn't get into any of that and wouldn't confirm or deny that was the case. I know some talk's been out there about Noah Turner. You know, we know that from what we reported last week, he didn't participate in the Beanie Bowl. We know he was banged up, the week prior to that. And so we'll see. From what I understand, he's probably, if I had to guess, Clemson is not saying officially, but if I had to guess, he's questionable for the game tomorrow night. So, but, you know, I'm hearing things that he's going to play tomorrow night too. So we'll see, that is. But that's kind of where injuries are from what we can understand right now or, you know, feel comfortable reporting.
Anything at safety with Nolan Turner?
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. Turner is we don't know what that is exactly.
Okay.
You know, we know he did not play in the Beanie Bowl last week. He wasn't dressed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we know that, and we know that he was injured. You know, all of last week, didn't really participate much in practice, through reported. But you know, just hearing some things that he might play tomorrow. So I would say, unofficially, he's questionable, I would say, for the game.
All right, let's go over to the offense then and talk about how they're going to operate tomorrow, because the Clemson offensive line, I think the standard story was, hey, they can be better. They weren't Clemson good last year. And there's a lot of intrigue with the running backs, how they're going to use Will Shipley. On the ground, how do you expect that to look tomorrow, and how often do you expect that to be what Clemson does? It's a tough proposition to, you know, quote, establish the run and we'll throw off of that. That's tough against Georgia.
Yeah, I think Clemson's going in with the mindset of thinking they got to run for 200 yards against Georgia, because I think they realize that's going to happen. So now they have to run the football enough to at least have Georgia respect somewhat. So instead of getting 4 yards a carry, I think if they can get 2 or 3 yards a carry, they're going to be happy. And they'll stick to it. Tony Elliott will stick to it. Like, you know, think about the Notre Dame game last year. They banged up front, and they still ran the ball. You know, like 34 times in that game. They just didn't run from very many yards. I think they had 1 yard per carry, but he kept running it because he just needed to show Notre Dame that look still, that he was going to keep trying it. And I think that's what you're going to see in this game. They know they're not going to have as much success with it, but they're going to at least try to establish some sort of running game so they can play off that play action. Now, Chuck, here's the thing with Clemson's offense. With DJ, you know, he's got better in the RPO game. That was a big emphasis for him. You know, last year he couldn't do that because he was injured, so they were kind of afraid to have him run that last year because he had an injured shoulder in those two games that started. So the RPO game, I think, especially with Will Shipley, you know, I can see the RPO game being very much involved in being Clemson's running game against Georgia, because if you can start getting those big guys up front to move, then that's what Clemson wants to do and kind of show those looks. And also the quarterback power, I've said it before, you know, that's a different element. You know, if you get your quarterback to run, be a part of the run game, then if Clemson can get man on man and then have him against the linebacker, I'll take DJ in that matchup all the time at 6'5", 250 pounds. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I think in short yardage situations, you'll see the quarterback power a lot if Clemson gets in those situations.
It is theclemsoninsider.com. That's where you'll find Will Vandervoort every single day, and occasionally you'll find him right here on this program. Is there a role for Phil Maffa? Is there a role for Kobe Pace? Because I keep hearing from people I trust who know the Clemson program, and it's always a different running back. Hey, watch out for Shipley, or it's finally Lynn Jay's turn. How do you think they're going to slice up that football?
Yeah, I mean, I know Pace and Lynn Jay Dixon are starters. I'd say they're probably like, you know, 1A, 1B. Shipley probably is right in the mix, too. He took a lot of first-team reps. And Dabo mentioned, Phil Maffa some. So I think you'll see some of him maybe in short yardage with him. He's more their big guy. He's, you know, it's 225 pounds. Really like him as that kind of that closer kind of back. So I think you'll see him in those situations. And then I think you'll see the other three just kind of mixed in. But if they can't run the ball, then I think you're going to see Shipley more involved in the offense because you know, he's just more dynamic. If he can take care of the football, then he'll play a big role in this game for Clemson in the passing game, I think.
All right, flip it around because whatever I just said about Clemson running the ball against Georgia, like double that. When anybody, even a team like Georgia, is going to try to run against Clemson, I think this is one of the best front sevens, if it's not Georgia's, in all the game. And I've talked about the super seniors coming back, talking about the defensive line. And there are folks who even compare it to 2018. Aren't there comparisons that are sort of off limits, especially at Clemson?
Well, the players at Clemson and the coaches won't mention 2018 in the same breath with them. But I think when you look at it from a talent standpoint, now Dabo made a good point. He says this defensive line is actually deeper, especially at defensive end, than they were in 2018. So, you know, you got five starters, legitimate five guys who started at least five games in their career at defensive end. And so, you know, they're gonna rotate those guys in and out. They really like, obviously, Brian Brazee. And then the guy behind them, you know, especially with the question mark with Tyler Davis going into this game, you know, I feel like, you know, E.T. Rubin and – you know, Rook Ortho are ready to step up and make plays. They like the freshman with Peyton Page, and like the redshirt freshman and Trey Williams. So they feel like they got some depth there at defense tackle too. It's just they're kind of inexperienced back there. They like the talent they have, so they think there's going to be much of a drop off from a talent standpoint. And so they're going to rotate those guys in and out too. So they're pretty deep on the defensive line. And probably I would say they're deeper than Georgia on defensive line. Now the question comes, though, is like how ineffective will Clemson be stopping the run without Tyler Davis there? If you're Georgia, I think early on you've got to try to hit that spot and see how those guys, if Tyler Davis isn't playing, see how those guys that are backing him up can play and really challenge them. And it also helps Georgia now they can just isolate and team Brian Brazee and not have to really worry about a guy like Tyler Davis. So it's where before they probably were going to have to try to double team both of them at some point, right? And but now they get to double team Brian Brazee and then just try to win those one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, have fun. Let me ask you, when Georgia, because I think the opportunity against the Clemson secondary, it's to spread them out, and it's to get Clemson into their – everybody's third corner is essentially a starter. If Clemson gets into their fourth or fifth corner, either because of formation or injury, fatigue, performance, whatever, how confident are you? We got about a minute and a half here. Just talk a little further down the food chain for Clemson at corner.
Yeah, I think they're not very deep at corner. Remember, because, you know, Darren Kendrick was kicked off the team, and now he's at Georgia. They also had another guy that transferred out. So they're down two cornerbacks already. I don't know, you know, we don't know if Davis is going to play. Remember, he had that incident that happened back in July. So we don't know what's going to happen there. So they could be down to just five corners. And so if they get to that next group, those guys are going to have to play Malcolm Green and those guys. And so we'll see. They may bring in Makuba and have him help at the corner positions. They like the talent they have there. They think the guys they got, they're four and five star guys. So we'll see. But yeah, if one of those guys goes out, then depth starts to become an issue for Clemson.
Well, brother, I appreciate it. It is a monster matchup, and it's why we all love the game this much. We will get with you, obviously, as good as Clemson is. We'll be visiting with you all through the season. I always appreciate when you make time, man. Thank you.
All right, Chuck. Thanks for having me, buddy. Fun tomorrow.
All right, Will Vandervoort again from the Clemson Insider. And when you get into that secondary, and he started talking about some of these names I want to mention. By the way, when I asked him about Nolan Turner, I didn't hear him transition away from Tyler Davis. I thought he was still talking about Tyler Davis there, and he may have been. But there are questions with both of them, and that's two starters ended right up the middle because Turner plays actually. He flips back with both of those safety situation positions. The reason I wanted to bring that back up is because – Nolan Turner is either a starter at the deep safety or he is possibly a starter or off the bench first guy or the rotation closer to the line of scrimmage. Some of the names he mentioned, like Andrew Akuba, that kid's a freshman safety that they would bounce out to corner. Now, again, as you said, they all got four and five stars, and a lot of these kids play plenty of corner in high school or whatever. But you're talking about changing positions and for kids getting a lot more on-field reps than they've ever had, especially against an opponent like UGA.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.